Hi there. Thank you for being with us for America Trends. I'm your host, Amy Fuller, and ahead, we have a Christian psychologist in who will be sharing his take on healing depression for life. We'll talk to Dr. Jance in just a few moments. Also, very important, a warning about a deadly flaw in many, many airbags. Even though some 40 million Takata airbags were recalled a few years back, apparently millions of Americans are still driving around with them in their cars. Plus, a new Inspector General's report published in August found that over $53 million in legitimate claims were rejected by the VA during a six-month period, and that left 17,000 veterans without care. Also, we'll talk to Colonel Rob Manis about this and the decades-long fight for Blue Water Navy veterans to receive VA disability benefits for illnesses linked to exposure to Agent Orange during the Vietnam War. That is over, and there is good news to share on that, so stick around. Trending in the news, a New York police officer involved in the 2014 death of Eric Garner was fired today because that officer went against policy and used a chokehold. Garner's dying words were, "I can't breathe." Apparently, he was asthmatic, and his death did give rise to the Black Lives Matter movement. Daniel Pantaleo, the officer, was fired by the police commissioner following the recommendation of an administrative judge. The commissioner conveyed his support, though, of his force today.
Being a police officer is one of the hardest jobs in the world. That is not a statement to elicit sympathy from those we served. It's a fact. Cops have to make choices, sometimes very quickly, every single day. Some are split-second life and death choices. Oftentimes, they are choices that will be thoroughly and repeatedly examined by those with much more time to think about them than the police officer had. And those decisions are scrutinized and second-guessed, both fairly and unfairly. No one believes that Officer Pantaleo got out of bed on July 17, 2014, thinking he would make choices and take actions during an otherwise routine arrest that would lead to another person's death. But an officer's choices and actions, even made under extreme pressure, matter. It is unlikely that Mr. Garner thought he was in such poor health that a brief struggle with the police would cause his death. He should have decided against resisting arrest, but a man with a family lost his life, and that is an irreversible tragedy. And a hardworking police officer with a family, a man who took this job to do good, to make a difference in his home community, has now lost his chosen career. And that is a different kind of tragedy. In this case, the unintended consequence of Mr. Garner's death must have a consequence of its own. Therefore, I agree with the Deputy Commissioner of Trials' legal findings and recommendations. It is clear that Daniel Pantaleo can no longer effectively serve as a New York City police officer.
So Pantaleo losing his job, his career as of today. Last month, though, federal prosecutors declined to file civil rights charges against Pantaleo. So there's that aspect of it as well. Air travelers are apparently having a tough time this year. Airlines in the U.S. have been bumping travelers at three times the rate of a year ago, all because of hundreds of out-of-service planes. Boeing 737 MAX, that fleet, was grounded in March after two fatal accidents. The rate we're talking about reflects the numbers available for April, May, and June, and does refer only to travelers whom airlines bumped, but not passengers who voluntarily took a different flight. It is National Aviation Day. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president then obviously, is the one who proclaimed August 19, 1939, National Aviation Day to celebrate the development of aeronautics. Welcome back to America Trends. A safety advisory for drivers now. Apparently, millions and millions of people are still driving around with airbags that are under recall for a deadly flaw. These airbags, made by major parts supplier Takata, were installed in cars mainly from the model years 2002 through 2015. Some of those airbags could explode and deploy and shoot sharp metal fragments, injuring or even killing people. It is estimated some 17 million still have those flawed airbags in their cars, cars from some 19 manufacturers. We will name them in a moment. 17 million car owners are ignoring these notices, we are told. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has confirmed that 16 people in the U.S. have been killed. Hundreds of others are alleged to have been injured by this defect. Now, if you got a notice, you should not ignore it. You should schedule a free recall repair immediately. And dealerships all around the country do have replacement parts available for you. And the free recall repair should take anywhere from about an hour to a few hours, depending on the make and model of your car. The NHTSA has called it the largest and most complex safety recall in U.S. history. We do want to tell you now, affected vehicles include those made by BMW, Chrysler, Daimler, Ferrari, Ford, General Motors, Honda, Infiniti, Jaguar, Land Rover, Lexus, Mazda, McLaren, Mercedes-Benz, Mitsubishi, Nissan, Scion, Subaru, Tesla, Toyota, and Volkswagen, again, from about the years 02 to 15. If you're not sure your car's airbag has been recalled, you can go to safeairbags.com or nhtsa.gov/recalls to find out. Also, there is a really handy airbag recall app. You can take a picture of your license plate and just upload it to determine if your vehicle is under recall. So a little bit of an advisory for you this hour. We are talking also right now to Colonel Rob Manis about some issues that concern our veterans, some of our most worthy Americans, patriots, of course. And it's very interesting what he has been doing. He is now executive director of a group called Military Veterans Advocacy. This is along with everything else he's done. He's an Ops Lens TV host and contributor, and we really appreciate all the time he has served with and what he's doing now to have the back of our veterans. Colonel Manis, welcome back to America Trends.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, good. Good to hear you, sir. Thank you for taking on this new position that you're doing. Before we talk a bit about that, there is some really good news concerning what some people might be following, the Blue Water Navy law and lawsuits. And I understand just a few weeks back we had some resolution that is very, very good for our veterans.
Well, all year long we've been getting pretty good news. Military Veterans Advocacy led a litigation effort that resulted in a major court case in January of this year that awarded benefits to the Blue Water Navy veterans, and then Congress followed up in June of this year with legislation. Now, there are some flaws in the legislation. We had to take the Secretary of the VA back to court because he put a stay on the benefits immediately upon the passage of the actual legislation. But we've got an emergency order authorizing us to come in for oral arguments in early November at the Court of Federal Appeals, which is the same court that awarded the benefits to the Blue Water Navy veterans in the first place.
Colonel, I know a few weeks back we were trying to have you on the show, but they said he's in Washington testifying. Was this what this was about?
It was what this was about. We are rounding up folks and encouraging them, and have had quite a few senators and some folks in the House of Representatives that have sent letters to Secretary Robert Wilkie of the Veterans Affairs Department to lift the stay on benefits, because just those few weeks ago, we started getting notifications of these Blue Water Navy veterans that have been holding on for a very, very long time and are getting older. Many of them are starting to pass away, and we're concerned that that mentally the challenge of continuing on may be affecting some of these folks. And we're getting notifications about every day from a widow of one of these Blue Water Navy veterans, sadly.
it really is extraordinary that they could see some outcome like this during their lifetime. And I know, so this does have to do with Agent Orange at the time of the Vietnam War, and these are what the benefits are for.
You're exactly right. It does have to do with Agent Orange. Unbeknownst to these sailors, their ship's water systems were bringing in Agent Orange and actually enriching it by a factor of 10. So these veterans had more cancers, more of these maladies caused by Agent Orange than even soldiers that were operating on the ground and being sprayed with the chemicals. So it's very important we move quickly and get this benefits question resolved. And in all of the cases of toxic exposure, the United States government on the part of the Veterans Affairs Department and the Department of Defense have always been slow to acknowledge toxic exposure, and Agent Orange is just the beginning. The burn pit issue from the Iraqi freedom and enduring freedom veterans in Iraq and Afghanistan is the Agent Orange of the 21st century.
Sure. And again, what you've been dealing with is decades long as well. And hence the name Blue Water Navy. Interesting that they had more exposure than even the people on the ground. And it's just a shame when you learn about these things later. So I do know on June 25th this year, President Trump signed into law H.R. 299. That is the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act of 2019. So you have to go back. What is this stay? The stay's not over. There's more to deal with.
Well, after the major court case called Procopio v. Wilkie in January, that decision was handed down. The VA had actually gave up on appealing to the Supreme Court and decided they would start processing claims. They actually had processed 200 claims by the time the legislation was passed, H.R. 299, as you mentioned. Unfortunately, that legislation had some flaws in it that we opposed, and we opposed this piece of legislation because of it. And keep in mind, we represent the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Association on behalf of who the benefits are trying to get for. So we fought that bill. Unfortunately, it did pass, and it put some new things on the table. One of them was a stay of the benefits. So the VA secretary immediately enacted a stay, which stopped all processing on claims. And hence, that's why we're beginning to get notified of veterans that have lost their battle with all of these cancers, Parkinson's disease, and many other maladies from Agent Orange.
Yeah, it's a shame, and we do need to have their back. Thank you for what you're doing. Can I talk more after the break with Colonel Manus and about soldiers being denied more than $50 million in medical insurance coverage? Back after this.
It's been 24 hours, I need more hours with you.
Well, a new Inspector General's report published this month found that over $53 million in legitimate claims were rejected during a six-month period by the VA, leaving more than 17,000 veterans without care. It's something so egregious that you just can't stand it. This isn't a private insurance company. This is our tax dollars, which are supposed to support the people who keep us safe and who put their lives on the line for us. Colonel Rob Manus is one of those who has done that his whole life and also now offers his time as a contributor, a writer, and a host on OpsLens. That's OpsLens.com. And he also has a brand new position where he is giving a lot of his time as executive director of the Military Veterans Advocacy Group. Colonel Manus, thank you so much. And tell me about the Military Veterans Advocacy Group, and we can find it. I believe it's MilitaryVeteransAdvocacy.org. Is that right?
That is correct. And we are a rare organization. We are all volunteers. Most of us are service-connected disabled veterans. We have some spouses that are working with us that are spouses of disabled American veterans. Many of them came from the Blue Water Navy organization. And that's where MBA got its start with about a decade ago by adopting the Blue Water Navy organization and trying to get their case presented to the Congress, the Veterans Department, and the President of the United States so these men could get their benefits back that were originally given to them by Congress in 1991 and taken away by the bureaucrats at the VA in the early 2000s.
My goodness. So you just started this position. How long has the group been around?
The group's been around for about 11 years. As I said, we're all volunteers. We do three things. We help do legislation that makes the VA do what it's supposed to do for our veterans and their families. We do litigation. We have a litigation department with volunteer attorneys that have been veterans also, that actually won the big court case at the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals this past year that gave the Blue Water Navy veterans their benefits. And then we have an education department that provides attorney education, and it is CLE credit. That's continuing legal education for you attorneys out there. You know that. And we provide training on military law and veterans law to attorneys so they can help these veterans get their cases won.
So one thing you're trying to do is provide training and services, education services for military and veterans on what their rights and benefits are. And things can be so complex that they might not know. What do you want to tell our viewers and listeners? What are a few things that you wish every soldier, sailor, member of our military veterans knew that you're just surprised that they don't understand they have this right?
Well, what I'm always surprised about is how little the veterans know about the Department of Veterans Affairs system when they leave the service. We've attempted to put preparatory briefings and the ability to even apply for disability claims before you leave active duty in place, but I'm always surprised at how little we veterans know about it once we get into the process. And then the most heartbreaking thing is how heartless the Department of Veterans Affairs can be. We've talked about Agent Orange veterans that don't have benefits like the Blue Water Navy folks. You mentioned the claims that went unpaid and are going unpaid for 6 months. Well, as a matter of fact, the bills from those private providers that were supposed to be paid by the United States government on behalf for our veterans, those bills are actually sent by the VA department to the veterans and their families themselves. And that's just incredible, but it's only part of the story. Sometimes veterans have to pay a copay at the VA when they go there for medical care if they don't have a service-connected disability. And I know an Agent Orange Navy veteran that is in that boat and was one of the people that had their claim denied to these private providers. Well, he doesn't make very much money, lives on Social Security, and his wife do, and they had a plan that was developed and approved by the VA department to go ahead and pay payments on their copays that they owed. And everything was going fine until, without any notice, the VA sent him a letter completely out of the blue and said, we are going to start garnishing your Social Security because you're not paying these copays fast enough, even though we agreed with you. That's how heartbreaking it is. And that's what a lot of us don't know about the Department of Veterans Affairs.
So you say it's worse than the media makes it out to be, and it does sound like it is beyond disgusting. Colonel, when I think about it, I think of these men and women who are putting their lives on the line, different spectrums of that on any day of the week, but for years and years, they're not worried about what are my rights when I get back? What's in it for me? I mean, I just don't think that's at the forefront of their mind. They're trying to protect themselves, protect their comrades, and protect our country. And so the fact that we can't have their back, these bureaucrats that we pay to do it, is just more than sickening. And this new report saying that soldiers have been denied more than $50 million in righteous claims in medical insurance coverage, and that just came out in the past few days, that just has to make your blood boil.
Oh, it does. It makes your blood boil. But you know what? We at MBA and our partners, we continue to go to Congress and continue to confront the VA, both professionally, collegially, and in the courts, when we have to fight them in the courts. And we are and are capable of winning. And we will continue to win because we're doing the right thing by our veterans. I just wish the government of the United States was capable of consistently making the right decision to help our veterans and their families. And unfortunately, it is not. We do not do it right. We must continue to make reforms. And I know the president signed the Mission Act this year that was supposed to help. But we continue to see these just heartbreaking stories coming out of the VA system or coming from from the veterans community, because many of them get ignored by the VA system or absolutely just told, no, we're not going to take care of you because we don't believe your claim. So we've got to get to work on that and continue to work on that, especially in the toxic exposure arena.
You know, it's a double affront because you have these people that go in and they want service, they want help, and then they're being told, now we don't think you really have an issue. And just to, so to have that thing happen, and then on any given day, Colonel, you can hear stories and reports about veterans who've committed suicides in the parking lots of the VA to try to bring home the message. You know, there's a reason they do it in the parking lots. You know, if we could rise up and do something for them, we would. And President Trump ran on the issue. He said we have to reform the VA, and he's made some changes. What else should he be doing? Is it just a matter of there's so much complexity and bureaucracy and red tape?
Well, when the president of the United States hears from volunteer veterans organizations that only have the interests of the veterans and their families at heart, we don't care about getting money from the government like some other organizations might. Mm-hmm. We don't care about getting money from the veterans. We just care about what's happening with them. When he hears from us, and he does, both in the media and through communications to his administration, he needs to act on it as if he's the commander in chief. For instance, he could immediately order the Veterans Affairs Department to drop the stay on benefits claims for Blue Water Navy veterans and get them approved as quick a way as possible. But he has not done that yet because he's not aware of the situation.
Colonel, last words. Thank you for trying to bring it to his attention. We hope people go to militaryveteransadvocacy.org to help you out. Thanks again so much. Healing Depression for Life is the topic with our next guest. Dr. Gregory Jantz has a brand new book out called Healing Depression for Life. And this doctor has dedicated his life over 30 years to understanding and treating depression so he can help all of us out. In the 90s, he pioneered whole person care, credited by many today for lasting depression treatment. So we are going to talk to him right now about what this book can do for many, many people. Welcome, Dr. Jantz. Thank you for being here.
Hey, it's good to be with you. And we've got a really important topic today. So thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. And this is one of, don't you have like almost 40 books already?
Well, this is number 39. I put my best, my life's work into this book.
That's outstanding. So this is an innovative whole person approach where you sort of focus on the individual. And I understand you also have, there's so much to talk about with you. You have a treatment center that's made you one of the top 10 depression treatment facilities there are because of the work you've put in with this whole process you've got.
Well, we do believe there is hope, and we stay with it. We see everybody as a 1,000-piece puzzle. And part of our job is put together those pieces to the puzzle, and it's the whole person. You know, what happens when people seek help for depression? They just do one single approach. Like maybe I take a pill, I just do one thing, and I hope for the best. But we've got to do a more of a whole person approach. There's usually multiple pieces to that puzzle that we've got to put together. So that's what this is all about. That's what we've been doing. This is our 36th year. I don't look that old, do I? This is our 36th
Not
year.
Not at all, and I like how your glasses match your coat. I'm a little...
Okay, there we
it's
go.
It's really good. It's really good.
Very good.
Oh, doctor. It's outstanding, though, because it really is something where you can tell you pour your whole heart into it. And I understand that you come to this from a Christian psychology point of view. Is that right?
We have a foundation of faith.
Right.
And we always take this and go, okay, for long-term results, we feel that we need to look at the whole area of the spiritual side of our life. We come at it from a Christian point of view, but we also serve people no matter what they believe. We want to embrace that side of our life, as well as, of course, the physical side, nutritional, body chemistry, as well as the relationship side, intellectual. So we're going to look at the whole person.
Sure, and you're not ignoring the science, because science goes along so much with what the Bible says, I know.
Absolutely.
And so the fact that you're doing chemical, emotional, physical,
yes,
food, sleep, all that is so great. And I know for many people of faith, it'll go,
yes,
give them, they'll rest assured, because people, you know,
yeah,
people, well-meaning people can say,
yep,
why is this affecting me? Why is this depression happening?
Yes.
Is it something I can pray away? How much emphasis,
yep,
should I,
yep,
put on pills and talk therapy? So I'll bet it's very well received by people from, as you say, all walks of life.
And that's our desire. We want to be very, if you will, user-friendly. One of the things that we know is sometimes if you're depressed and you feel despondent and you feel that despair, you don't feel like anybody loves you. You don't feel lovable yourself. You don't feel like, how could God even love me?
Mm.
Because that depression really robs reality. Depression robs the truth of who you are. And we really do look through the world through those lenses of depression and at times hurt and anger. And a lot of times folks will say, you know, God doesn't love me. God couldn't love me. I wouldn't be suffering from depression. So that we've got to work through that. A lot of times, there's the question of forgiveness for people to work through as well. So that's one of the pieces. Not always, but if you've got hurt, resentment, bitterness, okay, let's just say if I'm going to treat depression, I want to clean everything up in my life. So sometimes forgiveness is a part of that.
Dr. Jantz is a licensed mental health counselor with a doctorate in counseling psychology, and he is a world-renowned expert and innovator in the treatment of behavioral disorders and addictions. Again, his new book, Healing Depression for Life, and so just sort of reiterating that for our TV viewers and radio listeners. And Doc, we're gonna keep you after the break here in a couple minutes to talk
you
more, because
it.
I wanna talk about how food and sleep play into it.
Oh, good.
But can you address, what's the first thing you do when you sit down with someone? And then we'll talk about what they can get out of the book as well. There's just so much good stuff to talk about with you.
Got it. When we sit down with somebody, first of all, we really wanna know them. And a lot of times I'll ask a person, well, what is it that you haven't been asked before? Just like the other day, a gentleman said, well, I've never been asked. I asked him, I said, well, what do you put in your mouth? He goes, well, 20 years of suffering depression, nobody's ever asked me what I put in my mouth. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what he was putting in his mouth. This guy was up to 10 pots of coffee a day.
10 pots?
Pots.
Oh my.
Okay, now I'm in Seattle, right?
Uh-huh.
A little bit of caffeine is required to live here.
Sure.
But he really, honestly, he was, he drank coffee all day. He worked from home. And he says, well, you know, Dr. Jantz, they're just those home pots. They're a little smaller. And I thought he was saying, you know, small cups, but he was talking about a 14 cup pot of coffee, getting himself over time, drinking 10 of those a day. Do you think he'd have depression? Antidepressant. Yeah. So there you go.
Right. And it's, there's so much, I mean, I bet everyone you sit down with, you can nail it, whether it has to do, like you said, sleep, nutrition,
yeah,
something like caffeine or alcohol. If they're in just a weird place with their job or family or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, depression is as individual as we are.
And that's why we need to look at it as an individual. That's why we need to look at it and go, okay, everybody's got different pieces to the puzzle, and let's respect and honor each person and go, okay, well, what are those missing pieces? And we begin to put them together. That's why we do things as a team. Everybody coming to us, they have their own individual team, and they're putting together a team of people to help them, of professionals, because it works best that way. And I'm still, really, it's been 36 years, I'm still passionate and excited about what we're doing, because I see lives change for good. And I see people who have suffered for depression or anxiety. It's been 20 years or it's been longer. And the pieces of the puzzle have finally come together. So there is hope. And there's some hidden causes of depression, hopefully we can talk about too here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, for sure. And just a few more seconds before the hard break. But so you've been doing this long. There had to be something that made you want to go in to this realm.
Yes. You know, one of the things that really caused me to want to do this was I made some mistakes as a counselor, as a helper. I made a lot of mistakes years ago, and I really had the helper's disease. I said yes to everything. I burned myself out.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't hardly wait to get home and, you know, have my half gallon of ice cream as well. I was not practicing what I was preaching. Okay, this is actually the mid-80s, so it's been a while. And it took me a year just to rebuild physically. And I said, we're going to build a program because there hasn't been really very many good answers for depression. We're going to build a program of success.
Okay. We're going to be right back with Dr. Jantz and how we can remedy our sleep hygiene to try to be a first step in healing depression. And also, like we talked about, nutrition, all kinds of stuff. We're going to be right back talking about this very important topic. You are with America Trends on the U to America TV network and on this talk radio. I'm Amy Fuller. For decades, standard treatment for depression has not changed. It boils down to pills and talk therapy. Sufferers typically are prescribed these things, and at least 30% of depression sufferers are not helped by any of these standard treatments. That is why we are glad to have Dr. Gregory Jantz along with us. He is the author of a new book, Healing Depression for Life. He wants to help people find true and lasting relief, and he offers a new way forward, and he's been working on this for decades. Welcome back, Dr. Jantz.
Okay, good to be with you. Yes, there is hope.
So what is that? What's the first thing you tell people who say, boy, you know, I went through and I understand the chemical stuff in the brain and talking and all this, and I just can't, you know, move past that wall of getting better?
You know, and that's fairly typical what we see. And it takes a little bit of time. We have to feel, okay, it probably got me, you know, some time to get here. It's going to take a little time to get out of this. But one of the things we want to do is, first of all, we're going to test for any nutrient deficiencies. Does this person have some significant, let's say, vitamin B deficiencies? We're going to test, our doctors here are going to test for even like food allergies. We're going to look at hormonal levels. You mentioned sleep a couple times. I used to work in sleep research, and I can tell you the role that sleep has in depression. So we may do a sleep study. We're going to look and go, okay, could there be sleep apnea where you stop breathing during the night, because sleep apnea can create depression and anxiety. We're going to look, too, even at technology use. We find that the more people are deep into technology, you know, all that extra time online is not helping when they're full of depression. We're also, so these are just some of the things we're going to start looking at. But we also want to look at relationship history. Was there some early trauma in one's life? We see a fair number of folks who come to us and they really are suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. Maybe they had some early significant abuse, whether it's emotional or physical or sexual abuse. And they've had this history that's never really been dealt with. We know that early trauma can alter brain and body chemistry, for example. So those are just a few of the things we're going to look at, and there's a lot more.
I love that you do the background in sleep. That has to be such a great tool in your arsenal for helping people, because even people who don't have depression or mental illness in any way, they can just be grumpy because they're not getting enough sleep. And did you call it, was it the term sleep hygiene? Was that yours? I love that.
Yeah. Well, we look at sleep hygiene. How well are you keeping your sleep clean, so to speak? You know, what's your pre-sleep routine? We know if you're online, you know, an hour before going to bed, and you have all that what we call blue light and different things that's reactivating your brain, overstimulating you. We know, for example, that may cause melatonin levels even to be off. And melatonin is a natural hormone that your body needs to release for sleep. We may also see that what you're viewing online. Now, that's for some, a little bit tough to talk about, but what am I putting in my mind generally, and what am I putting in my mind before I go to bed as well?
If 30% of people are not recovering, so to speak, from standard treatments, which again are, you know, whatever pills, SSR, well, we hear, you know, back in the day in the late 80s, early 90s, everything was Prozac, and can a pill solve all these things? Now we know a little bit more about it, what it can and can't do, I suppose. But that standard therapy along with talk therapy, what are there, is there a specific key besides those two that you can usually go to and say, this just might be the thing?
Well, as far as medication, so we do use, let me just reference, we do use medication. We see it, our doctors here generally see it as a bridge to help a person for a period of time while we're looking at other things. We see so many folks who are coming to us and they've tried every medication and they're still not really at the place that they know they can be, and they're unhappy. So we're going to respectfully use pharmacology, but we're going to begin really quickly to look at what are some natural interventions that we can intervene with. You know, it may sound strange to say, but of all times in history, this is the best time to be suffering from depression. We have more available to us than ever before. We even do something called IV nutrient therapy. So where the doctor will do blood work, we're going to look at nutrient levels, and they're going to give you an IV based upon your individual needs. Do you know, things like that where we're replacing nutrients, rebalancing body chemistry can have a huge effect on one's progress. So that's just one more thing that we do.
Yeah, they're all good tools, the talk therapy, the medication.
Oh, yes.
Right, along with everything you're doing to assist with those. Interesting. And your facility is called A Place of Hope. Is that right?
We're A Place of Hope. Actually, it was our clients or our patients that named us A Place of Hope. We were known as the center. And through client surveys, clients kept writing, well, this is A Place of Hope. And so we kind of changed our name based on our client feedback.
And where is this? And what can people expect if they know, are thinking this might be something for me?
Right. Well, we're in a suburb north of Seattle. And we're in a beautiful, somewhat a little resort community called Edmonds, Washington. And we're right near the waterfront. And part of what we do is we do a real thorough evaluation before somebody comes. We're going to gather a lot of information, generally on the phone. We're going to actually begin to put together a plan before a person arrives. So we've picked out a team and some initial planning before somebody arrives. So it's a little different process. It's a little different process in that everybody's schedules here is different. It's just based upon what your needs are. So that would be different than a normal treatment center.
It has to be so fulfilling doing what you're doing. Where can we find your book, Doctor?
Well, the book should be available your favorite online retailer. You can always visit us at aplaceofhope.com, aplaceofhope.com. And there's also a really good depression survey that's a free one, a private one that you can take right there online.
So many people listening or viewing right now might not realize they have the symptoms that can add up to, hey, if you just take a few steps and get help, it could really improve your life.
And look, we might as well do it. It's one of those things, there could be some great answers for you. Make today a day of decision. I'm going to do something different.
Great final words, Dr. Gregory Jantz. Will you keep us posted on all you're doing, sir?
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We'll see you next time. It is Healing Depression for Life.
We'll be right back.
sure do say thank you for being with us this hour here on America Trends. And you can find us 24/7 on our website, U2America.com. All kinds of things to click around on there and find our other programming. You can click some buttons and find us on social media here on Twitter. Also, we have handles on Facebook and Instagram, and ytaclub.com is where you can find our streaming service. We have programs going 24/7, and also if you click featured at the top, you can go to any of our past programs and get caught up on everything. So we hope to see you there. Thank you to our guest for this hour, Colonel Rob Maness, who is, you know, dedicating his time writing for Ops Lens and also helping veterans with his new position with this military help group. It is called military. Let's see here at the top. There's Military Veterans Advocacy. And they're helping, you know, our men and women who, you know, need to get these benefits and get help with the VA, do what they need to do simply to be healthy and get what is due to them. Also, Dr. Gregory Jantz has a new book out that is so well received, and it's called Healing Depression for Life. And it's something he's been working on for decades, and it goes beyond standard treatments and adds a little more, and it might be just the thing that could be very helpful for many of our listeners and viewers. So we really thank both those individuals for their time. Finally, a new trailer for a new movie coming out, and it's based on real events, A Hidden Life. It is a story of an unsung hero who refused to fight for the Nazis in World War II.
Remember the day when we first met? I remember that motorcycle, my best dress. You looked at me, and I knew how simple life was then.
Killing innocent people.
Raiding other countries, preying on the weak.
If our leaders, if they're evil, what does one do?
You have a duty to the fatherland. The church tells you so.
You cannot say no to your race and your hope. You are a traitor.
I can't swear loyalty to Hitler. I can't.
Do you think your defiance will change the course of things?
If God gives us free will, we're responsible for what we do, what we fail to do.
I can't do what I believe is wrong.
Let me go.
We have to stand up to evil.